Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
This week, Elena spoke with Councillor Shane Henderson about what he has called the week from hell for West Auckland, which started with extensive flooding and ended with the terror attack at Lynn Mall Countdown. All the while, the region has also been locked down due to the recent outbreak of Delta in the community. On another note, Elena and Shane also talked about bin tags and how the proposal to streamline Auckland's rubbish surface and what it might look like. Here they are now.
So it's been a pretty difficult time of late for West Auckland. The week started with major flooding that saw homes evacuated and ended with seven people injured in a terror attack at a New Lynn Countdown supermarket, all while the region has been stuck at a level four lockdown. As a councillor for the Waitakere Board, have you been involved in helping people recover from the flooding and the attacks?
Yeah, so my involvement as Waitakere councillor, first and foremost, we need to communicate clearly with our residents because people are feeling vulnerable, they're feeling scared, and in a level four lockdown scenario, they can't physically obviously meet with their extended family or their friends, their support networks. So they're really relying a lot on things like community Facebook pages and direct messaging people online, that kind of stuff. And so communication is the number one thing that I've been involved with, kind of letting people know what's going on, where they can access their services that they need because people got flooded out of their homes and had all sorts of needs, and really connecting with people in that way, and also kind of working with the emergency management on my side to kind of to work with what people need help with. So for example, setting up the shelter in Henderson for people that were flooded out, they could go and access that and sort of be warm and dry. I sort of helped organise food donations and things like that as well. You know, there was a hell of a lot of things to do, but obviously it wasn't just me. The community on the ground really rallied together and they worked really hard to support each other and to connect with each other. And I just want to shout out to them, the volunteers in the community that worked really hard in this situation to help people.
How is the flooding looking now? Because obviously it's been a little while since it happened. I guess the immediate after effects have gone, but are people still having to be in temporary housing? And obviously there's a long tail of the effects of flooding on a community.
Yeah, definitely a long tail of flooding effects in the community. We have had a few houses that have been red stickered as uninhabitable. By and large, the clean-up effort has been rocking through since the flood. And the council have been on the ground with emergency management to clear kind of streams from, there were cars stuck in streams in several locations, for example, and public areas, and helping the water flow through and kind of drain out. So the cleanup on the debris is continuing. It's a really huge effort, but the community have really done a good job on that. But I think the cleanup's not just physical, it's also mental. I think people really feel a complex need because, you know, it's pretty scary when waters flood through your home and flood your garage, people seeing boats and cars washing down streams and things like that. That takes a toll on people, and so I think part of people's needs are mental as well as physical. But, you know, these clean-up jobs have been going really hard since the flood and they're continuing now.
Particularly during lockdown when home is kind of the only anchor point that any of us have. So yeah, that's going to be really tricky. Are there going to be continuing mental health services and help for people who have been affected?
Yeah, I think number one thing that we can do is we've actually got an 0800 line set up, which is continuing, which is 0800 22 2200. So I'll just say that again, 0800 22 2200. So call up there and connect with emergency management and let them know what your needs are, be they sort of physical or even mental, and we can help connect you to services that help. And it's a really important service for people because, you know, there is a certain sense of helplessness as well, even among people that weren't affected. We sort of feel that we need to rally together and actually go out and help our neighbours put up their shed again and that kind of stuff like that. And we can't do that because we're in lockdown, and that's really hurt for a lot of people. And it feels really unnatural because we want to go and help our fellow man physically. Yeah, so there's a bunch of different stuff going on. But yeah, the 0800 number, I think it's really important to give that one a call if you need still, because that's still going.
And how are people feeling in the community after the terror attack at the Newlyn Countdown? Because obviously that was so out of the blue and very, like,
yeah,
just surprising to hear about and so close to home. So how are people feeling comfortable to go to the supermarket again? Like, what support's in place for people who were affected by that or who are quite concerned about future supermarket trips?
Yeah, West Aucklanders are a hardy bunch. I've seen really remarkable resilience in our community. And yeah, there are people that are still scared and sort of have trepidation around being in public spaces. And I totally get that because, you know, this is this wow, crazy, unprecedented thing that none of us were expecting in Lynn Mall, of all places. You know, I can speak for it personally. I grew up in that area and we still, you know, pre-4 lockdown, would go and do family shopping there and stuff. And you sort of worry about your own family when you hear that kind of stuff. That's only natural. And I think a lot of people feel that. It has affected people. People feel hurt and they feel angry, but at the same time, there's a real resilience that we will kind of want to get on with things again and sort of get back to normal life. So there's a bunch of different emotions at play here in West Auckland. And, you know, as is natural for a terrorist attack when you're just not expecting something like this to happen.
Yeah, of course. Do you have any updates on how the people who were injured in the attack are going? Because I know there were, I think, 7 people injured. Are they all stable?
Yeah, the last I heard was that there were still 3, reasonably strong care in the hospital, but are all stable and so all recovering well. That's the last information that I've heard, which is maybe about a day or so old. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But I think people are recovering and that's just amazing. That's fantastic.
Mm. On a different note, I remember 2 weeks ago you said you wanted to talk about rubbish a little bit in Auckland.
That's right, on a very different note. It's funny that we sort of had that conversation last time I was on the show, and this was pre-flooding and terrorist attacks. That's amazing how a world can change so quickly.
Yeah.
But, you know, on this note, I think that we'll shortly be talking to Aucklanders about the service they want in their rubbish, because some parts of the city have bin tags, like West Auckland and the North Shore. Other parts pay for it as a flat fee in their rates, so you don't really see the bill. It just goes out with your rates and you put the rubbish out and you don't have to go to the shops and buy bin tags. And Central Auckland and Manukau run that system. I think most Aucklanders look at that and think, goodness, we should have one system. We're one city. It should be one system that applies no matter where you go, because, you know, most normal people, when they move houses and live in different communities, they don't think, which former council boundary am I in from 11 years ago? They just think, this is a nice house, how do I put the rubbish out? And it's really confusing for people if you move to West Auckland or the North Shore and you've got a different rubbish system. And so we'll need to ask Aucklanders what they think. If we're going to one system, first and foremost, is that a good idea? And then which system would you like? And there'll be a lot of really strong divergent views on that, but it's a conversation we all need to have. And we'll have more detail shortly on how that conversation's going to run, I think.
So that's something that's currently being planned to be proposed to the wider Auckland community for people to discuss?
Yeah, we're having discussions at kind of a really early stage on how things would look in this situation. But, you know, it's sort of work that's going on in the background at early stage at the moment. But shortly we'll have more information and information that I can share with the listeners. And I think it'll be a really cool thing to talk about long term.
Yeah, that's good to know. To me, it makes sense to have one system for the whole of Auckland. But yeah, I guess if there is going to be one system, it's choosing which one it is, who's going to have to change their normal ways.
Yeah, and I've always sort of personally advocated for going to a rates-funded system personally. I know people will have different views, and there might be a few people getting quite angry at my call there. But, you know, I see firsthand some of the problems that bin tags have that you can justify if you're reducing waste, but we need to make sure that actually it's working to reduce waste, and I'm not convinced that it is.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.